Good morning. Thank you. I'm going to share for a few minutes, and then Andrew's going to come up, and he'll share a few more passages for the grads. So we're recognizing three of our youth today who are graduating this year from high school. So I'm going to cover a very familiar verse, at least start with a very familiar verse, and cover a topic that hopefully isn't too simple. Hopefully it's helpful. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. I'm going to guess many of you could share or quote that verse to me. I'll read it for you. Again, it's Matthew, 28 and to 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So the question that I have, and again, at the risk of asking a really simple question, we've talked often about this verse, and we kind of jump to the part about if you're weary and heavy laden coming to Jesus, and that's great. The question that was in my mind this morning as I was looking through actually the book of John, and I was thinking about all these different people that came to Jesus, and there's a number of different, I'll say, groups that come to Jesus. What does it mean to come to Jesus? Because there's many who do. But I would say not all who come to Jesus will find rest for their souls. Right? And so that's what I wanted to just touch briefly on this morning. One of the groups that came to Jesus was the religious leaders. They came to Jesus often. You see that, and why would they come to Jesus? They come because, frankly, they were trying to find fault or whatever. But when you look at the religious leaders, we can write that off, but you look at them and say, what was the primary thing Jesus said about them? Because I think we can learn from that. There's a warning there. The biggest thing he said to them, or one of the things he said to them in Matthew chapter 23, he said to them that you look really good on the outside, but inside you're full of greed, you're full of sin. So the point is, we can come to Jesus, or we can have a perception of coming to Jesus, but the focus of that, and our focus is far more on what other people see. There's not a genuineness of, I'm coming to Jesus for a pure reason. I'm going to get to what I see as the pure reason and what it is when he says, come to me, what he really means. But I think one thing we can be on guard against, or at least ask yourself the question, is if we're more concerned if we come on a Sunday morning or a Friday, or we're interacting with people during the week, if the focus is around how other people see us, and do I look good, and do they not know, as long as they don't know what's going on inside and maybe the things that I'm ashamed of, that's okay. Like, I'm not, like, the biggest concern I have is just that I look good. It's my own, what would you say the word is for that? It's pride, right? You're just focused on what other people see, and that's what you care about. So I think we'd all agree when Jesus said, come to me, that's not what he's talking about. That is a way of coming, I'll say, on a Sunday morning or a Friday night or wherever we're interacting. But that's not what he's looking for. He's looking for something different. He's desiring something different. So the other group that I was reading, because I was reading in John 5 and 6 this morning, and if you're familiar with those passages in John 5 and 6, Jesus says, or in there, he's interacting with a group. First of all, the one thing that was drawing people was he was, especially in his early in his ministry, Jesus was healing people. And so as he was healing people, more people were coming and people were being healed. And then we have that account there where Jesus, in those two chapters, you see this, Jesus feeds many. He feeds a multitude. And then he disappears. He goes off, the disciples leave, they go onto the lake, then they can't find Jesus the next morning, so they're looking for him, and they hunt him down. And so if you look at this in John chapter 5, John 6. Now, so one thing, they were looking maybe for a sign and a wonder. That's why they were coming to Jesus. It was almost like, this is going to sound, it's not true. When you're looking for the sign and the wonder, it was almost like the new thing. Like you were searching for something, but it was almost the word entertainment comes to mind, but it was that. And then people wanting to be healed, and there's nothing wrong with that. There was something there. But then he says to them in John 6, now they've been fed, they're searching for him, and Jesus says to them in John 6, 26, he says, Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but now because you ate of the loaves and were filled. And then he challenges them and he says, don't work for food which perishes, but for food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. So when I was looking at this, which is pretty common throughout the Gospels, is people coming to Jesus because they wanted to be healed. They wanted something natural from him. And Jesus is encouraging this, is don't come to me for that reason. Right? We can come to Jesus. It's amazing. And I've seen this. We can come to Jesus. We can actually even be sincere when we come to Jesus. But when we're coming to Jesus because it's something we're hoping to get, at the end of the day, it's a very dangerous reason to come to Jesus. You think of Jesus coming to Jesus because of desiring something natural. Maybe it's a desire because we want to be healed or we want a relationship mended or these types of things. And what happens if we're coming for a different reason than just coming to Jesus to know him is what when all of a sudden perhaps that fails, then all of a sudden this relationship we have with Jesus begins to crumble because it wasn't actually built on the simple rock of a purity of why we came to Jesus. And he was challenging them, saying, like, you're coming to me for food. Maybe you're coming to me to be healed. Those are okay things. Obviously, we have natural needs. But if that's the core reason why you're coming, he says to him, you need to work for food which doesn't perish, which endures to eternal life. And I would say, too, you could say, you could come to me for a different reason. So I want to look at the last reason why, I think, and the genuine reason we come to Jesus. When he says, come to me, and there's a passage, Luke 9, a familiar passage, Luke 9, 23 to 26. So there's another passage in John 6 when he was talking to them right after this. While you're flipping to Luke 9, I'll quickly read you this. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. So they were coming for food, and then he tells them, he says, if you come to me, you'll never hunger. And so again, he was literally is telling them, you're coming to me, you're still going to be hungry. If you came to me the right way, I know it can almost be confusing, but he's saying, if you come to me for in purity and for the real reason of coming to Jesus, he says, you'll actually never hunger. You'll receive a bread that satisfies, that you'll never need, you'll never hunger again. So now let's look at this in Luke 9, 23. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me and deny himself, listen to that again, if anyone wishes to come after me, come to me. He must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me And my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, or if you're going to come to me, here's how you come to me. You deny yourself, you take up your cross daily, and you follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he's the one who will save it. What is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? When we come to Jesus, the way that he said it in Matthew 11, or when he says in John 6, if you come to me, you'll never hunger. We're coming to Jesus Christ broken. We're coming humbled. We're coming not caring anymore about what others think. We're willing to lose our life in this world. We're willing to lose our reputation. When we come that way, you'll find rest for your souls. Those who are weary will find someone in Jesus Christ who can strengthen them, can help them. The word broken is a word, and I've shared this before many years ago, but it was a word that I struggled with for a while. What does that look like, to come to Jesus Christ broken? David said in Psalm 51, he said to him that, for you do not delight in sacrifice, David said. This is after he'd sinned with Bathsheba. Otherwise, I would give it. You're not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. If you think of a wild stallion, this was a picture that really helped me. A wild stallion, you can see it in a field perhaps. I'm speaking of something I really know nothing about because I don't know that I've ever seen it in real life. It's a powerful animal. And it submits to no one. It runs free, so to speak. But it's really useless, right? In the sense of, it can't be used for anything. But then you think of a horse that's been, what's the word? Broken. You would know more about this than I do. You think of a horse that's been broken. What does it mean? It's come to a place where it's willing to submit to its master, right? It will do what its master says. Whatever it is, it will do what its master says. I shared this for the kids years ago. Some of you may remember this, and I had slides. And I had found quite amusing slides of, like, I had these wild stallions, and then I had this one of this horse sitting gently beside its master on a hay bale. It was, like, perfectly submitted to what the master wanted. But its will has been broken. And it's no longer saying, what do I want to do? But it's effectively saying, Master, what do you want me to do? And what you want me to do, I will do. And I look at that and I think there's a great picture there of what it means to come to Jesus Christ. If we're coming to him and we are going to be a wild stallion, obviously that's not going to work. It's like, Lord, my will is not broken. I want to do what I want to do. That's not going to work. Or if we're coming to him because we're coming to him for something that we can get, and the danger is, oftentimes, the things we want are not bad things. I'm coming because my family is broken and I want to see God restore my family. That's not a wrong thing. But we don't know what God has always, right? So we always have to come to him and say, Jesus, I'm coming for one reason only. I'm coming to know you. I'm coming because I want to know you. And Lord, I surrender all of my hopes, all of my desires to you. If you choose to restore something or heal something or do something, I will praise you. But if you choose not to in your perfect wisdom, I'll still praise you. Because I'm coming to you because I need you. The two reasons I can think of to come to him that we see in Scripture. It says, he talks about coming to him to be free. To be free from sin. The bonds of the devil. To be free. He said that those who would come to him the right way, could be free. And the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And the other reason I see is just to know him, right? Come to me that we would know Jesus Christ. This is eternal life. We see this in Paul. Paul laid aside everything in Philippians 3, that such a familiar passage to many of us. He says, I'd count everything else loss to know him, the power of his resurrection. And he said, I'm desiring a righteousness no longer of my own. Paul was that man who cared what everybody else thought. Everybody else, how'd I look? He was Pharisee of Pharisees. And he said, no longer do I want that type of righteousness, one that just looks good to everybody else. He says, I'm desiring a righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, which means it's a true righteousness, where it's a righteousness that's changing us on the inside. If we come to Jesus that way, broken, right? You come to the end of yourself. And you know, I could say, well, it's for somebody else. I just think of this, and this morning it was real to me because I felt that way this morning. I feel weak. And I'm like, Lord, I need you. And you know what? That's a great place for us to be, in that place where we see our desperate need of him. And that doesn't change. It's not like all of a sudden we don't know Jesus. We come to a revelation that we're a sinner, and that is critical. And we come to Jesus, and then all of a sudden we feel put together and we're good, and we don't have that brokenness and that need anymore. That brokenness and need is there. It remains. As soon as we start to think that we have it all together and we can stand on our own, it says, let him who thinks he stand take heed that he doesn't fall. So we need to, each of us needs to remain in this place. We need to keep coming daily to Jesus Christ. Every one of us needs to be coming daily to him. That's where our strength is. We read on Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the first verse there, Paul exhorts Timothy, one who was used wonderfully to the early church. But he exhorted him. He says, be strong that is in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And we talked about this briefly, but how do we lay hold of the grace of God? How do we be strong in the grace? It's through faith and it's through humility. Not a dependence on our own strength, but just this recognition of brokenness to say, Lord, I know who I am apart from you, and apart from you, I can do nothing. So my strength, Lord, is from you, but we have a confidence. It's not like a brokenness that's dejected and without hope. It's a brokenness that is actually founded with great confidence, great hope, because our hope and our confidence are built on Jesus Christ. There is none greater. There's none more powerful. And so we can have this hope and this confidence when we come the right way with a broken and a contrite spirit. It's a weakness in the sense of a great recognition of our own weakness. That's the weakness. We're not dependent on our own strength. But it's a great confidence in our Lord and Savior and the power that is in him. So I want to encourage you this morning, a simple thought. What does it look like to come to Jesus? Because he actually says it quite often. You see it. They were coming to Jesus. Then you look at it and go, well, they came to Jesus, but they didn't seem to leave changed. But then you'll see someone like blind Bartimaeus or the woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years. And I just thought of those two this morning as examples where they didn't care. Mind Bartimaeus, be quiet, as he's calling out. And he cried out all the more. You know, it's a picture. It's a picture of someone who just said, you know what, I don't care what anybody else thinks anymore. I needed something. He needed something. In that case, he wanted to regain his sight. We're coming to Jesus now saying, Lord, I need you. I need you to be free of sin, perhaps. Lord, I just need you. I know that I need you. Every hour I need you. So I encourage you all with that. I think it's great for our youth. But it's great for every one of us. It's great for me to think about why we come to Jesus Christ, and we would come to him every day. We'd never tire of coming to him. Anyway, I'll leave you with that.